Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the 15th day of July, 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have all of you here for another important broadcast of the French Connections continuing painful truth. I don't know how to even describe it anymore. All I can tell you all is that what we are trying to do here is acquaint people with facts that are going to put a larger picture or build a larger history of these people's activities and how they have covered themselves in the eyes of the general public as not being the sinister criminal group that they have become or that they've always been. I don't know if the group that's doing this has always been doing it, but it seems as though, as far back as the research I can find, they've been involved in underhanded criminality and sharing the booty of that criminality amongst a select group at the top. And then now, over the last 40, 50 years, they have been empowering mid-level people to become multi-millionaires and even billionaires. You know, you can't go to any industry in this world of note and not find it completely riddled at the top with Zionist Jews. And that happens to be the truth. And it doesn't matter if it's agriculture, it doesn't matter if it's drug companies, it doesn't matter if it's finance, it doesn't matter if it's entertainment, transportation. Anywhere you go today, if there is a concentration of power and wealth within an industry, it is in the hands of Zionist Jews. Now, that is also the case in the area of spirituality and religion. And I am here to purport to you that this group we're going to be discussing today, the Lubavitch, or the Lubavitch, or the Chabad Lubavitch, or the Chabad Lubavitch, when all of those have been used in describing this group, they claim to have a spiritual tone about their efforts and the things they do worldwide. But what I have discovered is that oftentimes their affronts for some drug smuggling. They've been caught with their so-called yeshiva students from the Lubavitch transporting ecstasy and drugs. They have been caught as heroin dealers. They've been caught financing drug runs and all kinds of money laundering schemes they've been caught doing. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they're even directly implicated in murdering Indian civilians, so they've been involved directly in terrorism. But that's only the tip of the iceberg with the Lubies here. Many people say they are the spiritual arm of Zionism, and anyone who knows anything about these Zoharite, Talmudic Kabbalists, and I don't even, they're not Semitic people, they're not originally Jews by birth, they are Jews by inheritance, this group, this Orthodox group. They are, by their own admissions, the spiritual arm of today's Israel and today's Judaism. Now, of course, there are many Jews in the world who absolutely don't agree with them. There are Jews fighting against their efforts worldwide, and I gotta say, those groups fighting against them get almost no press time. So it tells me that they are, that the Lubavitch is in league with the criminality within the press that's controlled, within the movie industry, and so forth. And almost never has there ever been a negative report issued against the Lubavitch. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, when I first started talking about the Lubavitch, and it was way back when I was at RBN, the fireworks started. My brother Scott has been talking about the Lubavitch for 15 years. He told me about the Lubavitch back in the end of the 80s, and it meant nothing to me at the time. I didn't even blink an eye, and I said, yeah, you're just going on some other tangent, my brother. But I remember clearly him discussing that these people were trying to set up a new Sanhedrin, that they were setting up new Noahide laws, that they were doing all this different stuff. And at the time, I wasn't hard-pressed to look into any of this stuff, and I didn't feel the threat of what was coming down on the world, and so I did not follow through on it. But the Lubavitch was clearly in the sights of my brother some many, many years ago in the late 80s. So anyway, we're going to go into this discussion on the Lubavitch with my guest today, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who has, of course, put together the great book Synagogue of Satan, doing quite well in the world. I'm going to let him talk a little bit about that later as well. And, you know, we worked together on the Rothschild timeline and put bits and bobs and bits of it up over a period of months on the website. He would use stuff I would put up on the website from my research, and he would take it further by going into the more of the details, and then put out a finished product. And it was it turned into quite a long list of activities of this Rothschild family. So, anyway, Andrew, are you with me?
I am, Darryl. It's great to do the show with you again.
Well, it is great. And you know, one of the things we're trying to do here, Andrew, is be honest about what we find and be, you know, one of the things that I have attempted to avoid is being labeled a racist or a hate person or anything. I don't hate anybody except criminals, Andrew. And if you're in this world and you believe in the tooth fairy, I don't care about it as long as you're not trying to commit crimes against me. Now, that's not the case with this group. This group is involved at the very highest level with the people that we fear the most. And you want to give a little bit of rundown of what you were discovering as you were looking into the Lubavitch?
Well, yes. I mean, initially, I think it was actually the end of your... I think you might have mentioned it on RBN, but you really got into it on GCN.
That's right.
And that was when your show got pulled from GCN.
Yeah.
Straight afterwards, you did a long show that was just about the Lubavitch, and suddenly, hey, you didn't have a show.
Well, you know, I got to say, in all fairness, there was also a lot of problems with Alex Jones, which makes me understand more about him, because he was after me for going down the road of identifying Israelis and Jews involved in all this crime. And he got he had come out against me because of my fingering of the Jewish community as being part of the 9/11 conspiracy and so many other things. Yes, and the final cherry on the top of this sundae was the Lubavitch mention, and that kind of got me packing, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's the thing is, it's very, and I'd encourage all the listeners to try one of the early shows. Like, I mean, as you know, I've got, because I managed to download the RBN shows when I found that, although the link wasn't up there, it was still up on the server, and when you could download from RBN back then, those years ago, I think I backed out, you know, it shows how far we've come. I was downloading some Jack Blood stuff, and
yeah.
You had the long link, and then you had Blood at the end of it. And so I thought, well, Dal did shows there. It's not up there. Maybe it's I tried Smith, and I tried a couple of things, Dal, and one of them brought the page up with all the shows on. And they downloaded very slowly, but we got them all, and, you know, subsequently cut the adverts out, and they're now all up on the site.
Yep, they are. Yep.
And so, you know, every show that you've ever done is there, which is great. But yeah, and the other thing with Alex Jones, I think from early on, you phoned him up once, and he said, "Oh, it's you," like that, you know, like "Who are you?" type of thing. And so you never really had a conversation with him. You never really liked from the off when you were approved over the years that people have tried to destroy your reputation, but you keep coming at them, and people, more and more people are coming to the French Connection because they realise that this message hasn't wavered, and it's we discovered who the criminals are, and we're literally just pointing out what they are doing, additional things we found out they have been doing constantly, and people that want to know the truth find it here.
Well, isn't it interesting? I was listening to Jones only today with a interview with Romaine Manson, and finally Mr. Jones is going after the Israelis. And he's going after the dual citizen Israelis and all of the Douglas faiths. And we talked about faith and back when Karen Kwiatkowski came on my programming years ago already.
Yeah.
All of the information that Jones is now releasing to his audience was talked about 2 and 3 years ago, 4 years ago, by myself and other guests that we had on. And the fact is, he's only going toward this information now for a couple of reasons. One, it's already out there anyway. And two, he'll lose his credibility if he doesn't. I don't trust that this guy's not an operative for one second. In fact, he's proven to me that he is by not going toward the facts, even though they were smashing him in the side of the head. But when he saw it damaging his credibility, it became a necessity. And you'll notice that Burmese hasn't been around it as much, because I don't think they're seeing Burmese as an asset as this information comes out. He's being seen in the larger movement as a obfuscator, a liar, and a deceiver. And I think Alex Jones is becoming seen as that as well. Now, the fact is, though, here's something that I'm going to put out there. Alex Jones puts out some truth about a lot of subjects. He really does. But that's the reason why people keep making excuses for him not being a deceptive. And I keep saying to them, well, wait a minute here. You know, some of the stuff he's putting out is true. However, the most important bit of information he left out of the equation for years. And we could have maybe had these people in handcuffs already had he not done that.
Well, yes. So, I mean, you know, people who say that, I mean, you could say the same about David Icke. He'll give you 90% truth, and then the last 10% will be, oh, and the bad people doing this are shape-shifting lizards. I mean, if there was a serial killer operating in your or my area and killed a few people, and we could say, yeah, killed one person over here like this and one person here like this and travels in this sort of vehicle because we've got tire tracks like this and etc., etc., and then we turn around and say, oh, it's the farmer down the road, when it's actually, I don't know, somebody works in government the other side of town, then we've told 90% of the facts. We've just fingered the wrong person.
Well, that's right, that's right.
What he does. And so if people look at it that way, rather than say, well, 90% of what he says is true, if you look at a criminal case and say, well, 90% of what is said in the criminal case is true because you've got the evidence, you've got, you know, all sorts of forensic of different, you know, elements, like, let's say, vehicles or what have you, or, you know, sped bullets or anything like that, you've got 90%. But if at the end of it you hang the wrong person, then you don't need any of the information because, you know, you've committed a crime yourself by blaming the wrong people.
Well, but here's the way this is done too, and you probably will confirm this. When he talks about the British conspiracy, or the British establishment conspiracy, what he doesn't say is that the Queen's fortune is managed through Rothschild Bank. He doesn't say to you that the Queen Beatrix in Netherlands money is managed by Rothschild and Warburg money handlers. He doesn't say to you, when he's blaming the Catholic Church's hierarchy for this criminality, that the Rothschild fortune took over the management of their banking and back in 1827, I believe. So my point is that he tells you, yes, there are elements of the Catholic Church involved in this. Yes, there are elements of the royals involved in this, but they're only involved in it as far as the control of the people above them. And the people above them are clearly Jewish Zionist bankers run by Rothschild and Oppenheimer and Con Loeb Group and Solomon Group and the rest of them, Warburg Group. So when we get to the ultimate culprits, we also see that those culprits need a spiritual side or dimension of their criminal gang, and that has shown itself to be the Lubavitch. Now, they are a very weird-looking bunch of characters, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, and I agree. I think the other thing to bear in mind is that you can find good books. For example, there's Daniel Esselin did a book on the Bilderberg Group, the true story of the Bilderberg Group, and you know, that's a good book on the Bilderberg Group. You'll get a lot more information on the Bilderbergers out of that than you would out of my book. I mean, I touch on it, but I touch on everything. But my book, Go To, the crux, the force behind it all. The Bilderberg Group is something that they use, but it's an administrative group.
Well, ask this question. Who's the banker to the Bilderbergs? And you'll find out it's the Zionist Jewish bankers.
Well, exactly. But you see, this is the problem that people have, because I think out there, everybody wants think everybody who's listening today really is listening because they want the truth. They want to know who is really controlling the world. Who's right? Is Alex Jones right? Is Darryl Bradford Smith right? Tex Mars, Jeff Rentz, whatever. And they've got so... What this group have done, and I think, and I do believe they're financing a lot of people in this so-called, I don't know what you call it, looking for the truth, real true history, I guess. And they've financed so many groups out there, and I've said before, you had 100 deathbed confessions, people saying, I killed Kennedy. Well, they can't all have done it. And so it's the same sort of thing. If you create enough confusion out there, then people will never know the truth. I mean, if you looked at that film, I think it came out in 1978, so it's less than 10 years since the so-called moon landings in 69. And what do you have? It's a film about that the moon landings were all faked, and it was a mainstream film. I think O.J. Simpson was in it, one of his acting performances. And they came out with that 9 years later, as if to say, oh, well, you know, there could be a conspiracy to there, maybe not. Like the film JFK. The film JFK, it talks about this shadowy conspiracy and this Mr. X and all these sort of things. But nowhere does it mention that Kennedy was issuing his own United States notes, which no president had ever done since Abraham Lincoln. Of course, he got shot for it. And it doesn't mention that Kennedy was trying to stop the Israelis getting hold of nuclear weapons.
That's right. And those two things, and it doesn't mention the connection of the mafia gang of New Orleans, connection to the Mossad, and it doesn't mention that the connection to the Cubans, which Fidel Castro, of course, is Jewish.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention his connections, and so basically what you end up with is you end up with the whole thing being a setup, and you know, that Bay of Pigs situation that put Kennedy in a very bad light, both you know, domestically and abroad, seems to have been a setup, and they you know, whoever the Zionists were that were running that operation were passing the information on to Fidel so that Kennedy could be embarrassed and made a fool of, and because he was pissing everybody off, excuse the tough language, but he was doing stuff against what he was expected to do when he took office. So, but you know what? Here's the interesting thing: John Kennedy was a slob. But at the same time, you know, he tried to do some good things. In my view, you know, his wife, they say, was Jewish. Now, there's a lot of evidence that say Jacqueline Bouvier was Jewish.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline Bouvier was Jewish, and so, I mean, they say her first real marriage was to Onassis of Greece, because he was also Jewish, and Kennedy wasn't, and they said that the real first marriage of her, and she was an Esther, and if you know what the term Esther means, Queen Esther in the Jewish history was the queen that married the Persian who knifed him in the back and sold him out.
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, yeah, with the it's very interesting with the Kennedy story, and as you say, with that film, of course, Oliver Stone pretends to be French Canadian, but he is Jewish, and he goes and does that film, and you end up leaving more confused about the whole thing than you do when you walked in.
Yes.
And that's the whole idea, and that's how this group operate, because at the end of the day, truth will get out. And so what people need to realise is, if you take something like the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, or even the International Jew that Henry Ford put together, people mistake saying that Henry Ford wrote it. He didn't write it. He bought a paper called the Dearborn Independent, and he got them to basically, the journalists on that, to investigate this group. And they would write different stories about this group, and he would give out pamphlets, if you like, or there'd be a copy of the Dearborn Independent in every new Model T that was sold. So he basically financed them to research into what he considered was the most threatening group on the planet. And he's back in the early 1920s, and the protocols go back to at least 1897. I believe that was what was discussed at the first Zionist Congress in 1897 in Basel, Switzerland, but that's just a belief I have. I can't substantiate that. But certainly around that time, or they would have been put together. And if you think about it that way, when they were talking then about getting control of the media and what have you, and they were getting control of the media in 1915, they were getting control of some big German news outlet, and they got control of Reuters and all these different things, and that was what was important to them. So if they got control of all that, literally, 90 years ago, then how far have they come today? And they realise things, they make mistakes, and they have to do damage limitation when those mistakes are made. And what they've discovered is that there will always be elements that get out. There'll always be the odd rogue here and there, Mordecai Vanunu, for example. He was the first person to actually come out and confirm the Israelis had nuclear weapons. It was always suspected, but he came out, he said, yeah, I worked there, they've got them. And he told the press what they had. And so, of course, he got whisked back to... it was actually Robert Maxwell, a Zionist Jew who owned some newspapers over here, that invited him over to do an interview. And then he was seduced by a woman over here in London and talked into going with her to Italy. And there was some Mossad agents waiting from over there that drugged him, and they basically sailed him over to Israel, where he's been ever since.
I've had two conversations with him on the phone, and he told me that he was given instructions on the second call that I had into him, that if he did a show with me, he was going back to prison immediately.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is just an example of, they realise that you can never keep everything completely watertight. And so what they do is that, hey, let's create other conspiracies. We've said that Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy. So now let's say, oh, it could have been this group, or it could have been the mafia that did it, or it could have been this, that, and the other. And so if they invent all these different things, and, UFOs and all sorts of stuff, if they, and they'll do that with their media, the whole X-Files thing. I mean, when I was younger, I was always very interested in this type of stuff. I was reading books on UFOs when I was sort of 7 or 8 years old, and things like that. And so when that show came on in the early 90s, and I was in my early 20s, I used to love that show, and now I look back at it now and I see the all these sort of Fox shows are like that. And of course Fox is owned by Rupert Murdoch. They concentrate on this shadowy government group that are in secret deals with aliens over the colonization of our planet and stuff like that, and people actually do start believing this. It's the same with the program 24. They 24 for me was a setup for Barack Obama coming in. They had a good-looking black guy who, is struggling to become president. He's very honest, and people are trying to assassinate him, what have you. And suddenly, Barack Obama pops up.
Yeah, Mr. Barry Soweto. And now, here's the thing I want to get into with the Lubavitch here. They are involved. Now, one of the contentions I've made, and maybe you'll disagree because some people have, and I still haven't totally convinced Mohammed Rafig of this stand, but he's moving in my direction. I watched, if you want to put into a search engine, anybody out there listening, put into search engine Putin and then Rabbi, and then go to images. And go down, and you will come up with hundreds and thousands of different images where Vladimir Putin is either standing with, talking to, dancing with, shaking hands with, praying with, wearing kippers on his head, the whole bit, with rabbis. And he has representative rabbis in Israel that are representative of the Russian government through the rabbinical connection, but also, if you want to know how powerful the Lubavitch is, and you want to know how connected to the top they are, the chief rabbi of Russia is the chief rabbi of the Lubavitch. And that tells you, hands down, that there is no way there is independence out of Russia. None. There is no independence. They are working with this conspiracy. They're making believe they're in opposition, but they are not. They may even act in opposition on certain issues that are unimportant to these people, or intentionally act in opposition to make others that are onto them think that they are truly against the West. The fact is, they are on board with the Zionist Jewish conspiracy and always have been, in my view, and there are elements within Iran that are on board with it as well. And I can tell you that there's a camp with camps within Iran that, you know, they've been dealing with the Israelis back door since the 1980s and into the 90s, selling spare parts and the whole rest of it. And they're doing deals. The Iranians are doing deals with the Russians, who are one of the key locations for this conspiracy. You know, there's nary a country in the world that is not under their control, either through the finances or directly through government infiltration. But the Lubavitch is a good sign for somebody to understand how deeply penetrated their nation is. So we're going to go down a list here of some of the Lubavitch photographs and events, and just how connected to the top these people are. And you won't see Congregationalist ministers with these governors or presidents or prime ministers, and Congregationalists outnumber Jews by thousands, I mean by millions and millions, but not one Congregationalist minister will be standing beside one of these high-level people. But you'll find Lubies all over them. There's a picture here of the governor of Utah with Rabbi Benny Zippel wrapping a tefillin, which is this black piece of leather that they supposedly flagellate themselves with, or you know, they tie off the arm and cut off circulation to it or whatever. I don't even know what their purpose is. But anyway, and he's also there with the Israeli consul general from Los Angeles. So he's there with the governor of Utah, the Israeli consul general of Los Angeles, California, and they're there with the chief rabbi, Benny Zippel. Now, in Jerusalem. Now, one has to ask themselves, what is this? What are these politicians doing, wearing the garb, getting wrapped up, doing trips over there with very high-level people? And this isn't the only photograph that this website has. I'll give you the name of it. It's called www.shamais.com. shamais.com. I will be putting up a link to this on the site later. But you have another photograph with somebody important that the, I mean, there's hundreds of them. We're going to go down a few of them and talk about them. Go ahead with the next one maybe, Andrew.
Well, I just scrolled down, Daryl, from that governor there, and you've got one, just go down a little bit further. It says, Shluchim with President Bush at the White House Shanukkah reception. And you've got a list of all the rabbis there stood next to Bush. So, I mean, that's not going to be unfamiliar to anybody who's who's aware of the work that we've done on this and the photos that have gone out on the net of, like, the kosherization of the White House kitchen that I've got in my book in 2005 and I put up on my site because there were more pictures in 2008. That was at Christmas. And also the infamous picture of President Bush going to his Talmudic classes with the Talmud under his arm, which again came from this site a few years ago. Underneath this picture with President Bush at the White House, we've got Rabbi Shimon Kramer and his brother Yosef talk with New York Governor David Patterson at the governor's pre-Hanukkah reception. And then we go below that, New Jersey Governor John Corzine lights a memorial candle as Rabbi Moshe Herzog looks on. You know, and the good thing about, there are a lot of photos here, and I don't know how many we're going to get through, but I would encourage all the listeners to look at these photos because, quite frankly, it just goes to show how far these people reach. There was a photo higher up of a rabbi with a government minister who deals with farming in India.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all about pesticides and things like that. And we know these people. You look at something like Monsanto, which is Jewish, and they're basically trying to get every field in the world to use their products and then have to buy them from them every year. And so rather than having natural using, you know, natural fertilizers and manure and what have you to grow crops, as has always been done and as nature intended. You're using all their chemicals that are not as good, and they don't produce such good crops, but they produce a big crop for them, which is money. And, you know, this is what you find. And as you said at the start of the show, there's no area that these scientists aren't involved in. You went through entertainment, media, you know, even as far as farming, you know, with these pesticides and what have you. So it's very important that people take time to look at this, because a lot of the photos are going to be of different festivals and of a Jewish school here and that, but you just have to be patient and spend a little bit of time going down. And here I've got Seoul, South Korea. Rabbi Osher Litzman and Rabbi Aaron Dov Halperin speak with two Jewish Korean War veterans that served in the U.S. Army during 1950 to 1953. And I mean, this is South Korea, and you've got them over there as well. Below that, Melbourne, Australia, a program group photo. It just goes on and on and on. And, you know, while we're doing the show, I'm just going to scroll down, I'm sure you are as well, and just go through some of these. Rabbi David Shurda of Pretoria, South Africa, and the Israeli ambassador, Mr. Alan Baruch. I mean, they're all over the world, and they're sort of hobnobbing, hanging around with high-level people in government, and it just goes to show the control they have. And I'll go back to what you said about Putin.
Yep.
And you got there as well, really, because I was going to let you finish, and then my comment is, I don't think that you would find one world leader anywhere that is independent that's against this group, because they wouldn't be here. They're all involved with this group when they come out and say that they're not, or they make the odd comment like, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran. And I mean, if you look at Iran, you look at the history, with you had the Iran-Iraq war that went on for years and years. Now, we went into Iraq initially in Desert Storm, which I believe was 91, and what a favour that did for Iran. And do you think that favour was done without any payback?
Of course not. Now, here's the thing that everyone needs to know. This organization acts as a lead-in for agents and clandestine operations, as they did in Mumbai or Bombay with this recent attack on that hotel, where they were using the Lubavitch Center to store their weapons and store their ammunition and use it as a jumping-off point for them to commit the crimes they did. And very clearly an operation by the Mossad put together through their Lubavitch connections. So they are really, aside from being the spiritual side, they are the ultimate Seinem for the Jews, for the Jewish intelligence services like Shin Bet. And you'll note that in America, I'm certain that any of these operatives that were involved in 9/11 would find safe haven in any Lubavitch center and get full treatment anytime they needed it. So my point is that you can see that this system they've built goes everywhere. Now, their leader, spiritual leader, is this Menachem Schmerson. He looks like a cartoon character if you look at him closely. The guy looks like something out of a freak show book or something. I don't know. He don't look like anybody I've ever known or ever would like to sit beside. I got to be honest with you. Why? Because his accoutrement and his comportment are bizarre in the extreme. Now, the guy died, and they've claimed that he is reborn in someone else as a messiah or something. I don't know what the heck they're claiming about it, but fact of the matter is that the guy looks like a freak, in my view. And most of the people in this organization, they wear boxes on their heads with weird... I mean, if you saw one of these people walking down the street, everybody would turn and go, what the hell is that?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's interesting, I think...